Let's have you open up your Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 14. Still to die your prayers from my throat. As anything else, evening comes in, gets a little bit worse. As I was telling Sister Jerry this morning, as I went to the doctor and I'd never had it before, they gave me, and many of you have had it, every time I tell somebody about it, they interrupt me and tell me what they got, little tiny pearl pill that takes away the cough. And I was amazed at how well it did. And I thank God through the week I've been able to sleep anyway. But still gets me a little bit. So pray for me. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for another day of life. Dear Lord, we're thankful for the many blessings. Heavenly Father, there's been many things that were mentioned tonight, dear Heavenly Father, that can concern us, can worry us, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord, we have one thing to be interested in or to be aware of, dear Heavenly Father. And that's to be ready, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, to be ready whether you take us home individually or, Lord, as you come back, dear Heavenly Father. As Brother Danny mentioned, the population of the earth is growing to a place to where it puts a strain. But dear Heavenly Father, you're a God that is not concerned about any of these things that we mention. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you as saints. Lord, we can rest in you. Heavenly Father, we can rest in you, dear Lord. I know a lot of times just to social media and the news, dear Lord, they can trouble us. And the prices of everything going up, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord, we can rest in you, dear Lord, that you're not out of control. Heavenly Father, sometimes when we think of as children, the Lord, there could be problems going on, but long as mom and dad were calm, long as mom and dad weren't upset, children didn't need to be upset. But Lord, we've seen times and cases in people's lives to where the parents can get completely unraveled, dear Heavenly Father, and the children may not even know what's going on, and it can upset them, it disturbs them. But Lord, we're thankful that we serve a God that is always in control. Dear Lord, we appreciate that. We ask you to be with us tonight, dear Lord. You see some thoughts that we have here. We ask you to anoint the thoughts, anoint each and every one of us, dear Heavenly Father. Bless our souls, dear Lord. Help us, dear Lord, to receive something from the message tonight, dear Lord, that will encourage us. Give us some deeper roots to continue to press the battle on, and we'll certainly thank you for it. Anoint the word, anoint me, God, bring as you would have us to, in Jesus' name. Amen. My message for this evening is something from this morning, as I'll have a verse of scripture that we read this morning, that as I was going through my message for this morning, I was going to expand on this particular thought, and I thought, no, I'm going to use it for a message for this evening. So you pray that God bless the thoughts that he gave to me, that you'll receive it. Luke chapter 14, we're going to pick up in verse 12. And I'm going to give you my title. I've never really been doing this, but there's a reason I'm doing this here lately. But my title this evening is, and when I mention these words, you'll probably remember it from this morning, Recompense of Reward. Luke 14, verse 12, Jesus is speaking, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor the rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Verse 14 kind of caught my attention a little bit here as I read this and meditated on it some here. And as Jesus is speaking and he goes through this, and in verse 12 talking about making a supper, and many of us understand the thought, and we call our friends, we call our brethren and our relatives, and we call maybe some people that we want to impress or whatever. I feel that's a rich neighbor or whatever. And when they come and they may enjoy the supper, they may enjoy the feast, and they leave and they recognize it and all, and they can also repay you by doing the same later on down the road. This time of the year, a lot of people get together and they'll have you over maybe for Christmas, or you have them over for New Year's, or whatever occasion, and later on down the road they want to have you. So there's a repaying there. And Jesus says that's the way kind of the world runs. He goes, but when thou makest the feast, he says, call them that are not able to repay you. Call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. In verse 14, this is this part that caught my attention. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. They cannot reward you. They cannot repay you. And as I thought about this verse and going into a spiritual, you and I, we're what verse 13? We were the poor. We were the maimed. We were the lame. We were the blind. We were the ones that had a great need that we could not repay. And Christ came to us. And he gave us something. He gave us spiritual food that we could not purchase. We could not buy. We could not obtain ourselves. And as verse 14 there, and it says, I'll use the word we. We could not recompense God. We could not thank him. In a sense, we could not reward him. We could not repay him back and give him what he gave to us. He gave it to us freely. He gave it to us willingly. He gave it to us out of love. I know the verse is talking about food and things and being good to those that are less needful or less have less than we do. But he says there, and the recompense, to have a reward for those that are not able to repay thee. And he says, when you do this, Jesus said, your reward will be at the resurrection. You know, as saints, that's why I think some of the greatest hurdles that the saints have, and people in general living for God. You know, when you get saved, you know, that's one thing if you get saved, and I understand there's a whole lot of different thoughts here with it. If you get saved on your deathbed, and you know you've only got hours or days to live, you don't have to fight all the things that the saints got saved when they were a young person and lived for God for 50 years, but also you miss a lot of blessings. You miss a lot of wonderful things. And you die and you go into heaven, you receive your reward if you get saved at that time. But one of the greatest hurdles sometimes as saints is just being faithful. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, just being faithful, just being steadfast, just staying at the job day in and day out. I remember when I left Bill and Earl's one time, and I went to Dorsey Transmissions, and I talked to the owner down there, and he asked me how long I'd been at the last place I was working, and I think I'd been there 8 years. He was amazed. 8 years, and I thought to myself, well, that really wasn't very long, 8 years. But for him, it was a rotating door down there. If people stayed 6 months or even a couple weeks, that was an amazing. No one was there more than 2 or 3 years at the very most. And I wasn't either after I got down there, I realized why. But I've been where I am now for over 20 years. And people were astonished at that. So faithfulness, staying consistent, staying at it. Sometimes that can be a great hurdle for the saints of God. But Jesus says, when you do these things, when you bless those that are less fortunate, when you help those that are not able to help themselves in a sense, Jesus says your reward will be at the end. And that's where our reward is. For everything, in a sense, many things that we live for Christ is at the end of our journey. When we cross that valley of death and we hear, well done, that's when our reward is. That's when we'll be paid for the deeds that we've done in this body. Many people do things in this world for recognition in this world. They want to have feasts. They want to do parties. They want to do events. They want to do things to be recognized today. I want to do good for someone. I want to be recognized. I want to give a financial support to a hospital, to a library, to a school, to a particular place. I want to be recognized. I want to have this big giant check that I'm handing to this organization. I want to be recognized today. But Jesus says that's not the way it is. He goes, do these things for those, in verse 14, that can't repay you. That can't give that reward back. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, again, Jesus speaking. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their rewards. But when thou doest alms, let thy left hand knoweth not what thy right hand doeth. Again, many people desire to be recognized. Let me tell you what I'm doing. Now, he talks about his alms, and he talks about people to pray. Other times, he talks about, here in verse 3, talking about sometimes in fasting. The Bible says, when you fast, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Keep it private. There may be only one or two people in your life that may recognize their fasting. I used to work with a man, and time to time, we would go out to lunch, and I'd say, where are we going to go to lunch? He goes, I'm fasting today. And it wasn't anything wrong with him telling me that, because we did. But he'd drink pots of coffee. I mean, he'd just drink coffee and drink this and drink that and drink that. And I'm like, some things when the Bible speaks about fasting, eliminating of food and water for a period of time and spending that time in prayer. But he says when you do these things, when you pray, and many times people wanted to pray to be recognized, to do good, to be recognized. We don't always do things in a large fashion, so to speak, in dinners, as we read there in Luke 14. And that's the thoughts for this evening a little bit, not necessarily for food, but even in small areas of our lives. Many times the devil's time sometimes wants to battle us and think, well, you have to do a big dinner. And like maybe even with feeding the homeless and those things, or do all these things. You have to do this. But even God says those little things. Jesus says, if you give a man a glass of water in his name, you'll be rewarded. Small things even so. And I say this, the Lord, do we look for opportunity to bless somebody? Do we look for an opportunity to be a blessing somewhere in our daily lives? And I've heard some of you testify to this, and I can testify it to myself. There be many times opportunities have passed by too quickly. We're busy with just business or life or whatever's going on, and we miss an opportunity maybe to help or be a blessing somewhere. I'm not saying it's sin anything away that way, but I say, Lord, help us to be more aware. Help us to be more attentive, in one sense, to looking for opportunities to be a blessing. Brother Frank was always one that was good with that. And I remember him in times when he would pray, and he'd pray when he'd get up in the morning, Lord, help me to be a blessing somewhere through the day. And that blessing necessarily doesn't mean of, and I might be jumping ahead of my message, doesn't mean to pay somebody's meal or to give somebody financial gain or to feed somebody, whatever, but maybe encouragement. Maybe a word of God, maybe a blessing somewhere. We'll get into that later in the message here. But not always necessarily in a large fashion there. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, we're going to pick up in verse 1. We'll read 1 through 4 and back up again. The wilderness and the solitary places shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even the joy and the singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, and the excellency of God. Verse 3 says, strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Verse 1, he says here, look at what he says in verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place. He's talking about necessarily spiritual places of people. The conditions of people. Sometimes they're lost. Sometimes they don't know where to go. Sometimes there are many people out there, and my heart does go out for them, and I know we're not professionals as far as counselors and things like that, but there are so many people out there that they're lost. And I don't mean spiritually. I mean just in general life. They don't know to go this way, that way. There's all kind of problems. They're conditioned. They're in a wilderness, so to speak, a solitary place. Shall be glad for them, for you and I. They can be glad for us, that we can be a blessing. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Verse 3 there, strengthen ye the weak hands. Not everybody's down in the valley. Not everybody's on the mountain. And everybody that's on the mountain, they reverse sometimes. But when we're up on that mountain, Lord, help us to be aware of those that need to be uplifted, to be helped. A word of encouragement. A word of blessing. I've often mentioned this, and I feel it's very true, how powerful and how encouraging it can be when we know somebody that can be going through the battle, to just let them know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you.
That's true.
I've been texting with somebody recently, in the last couple weeks or so, and I text him and I asked him, I'd like to, hey, is there a chance we can get together and talk? And he texted me back and he said that he's really in some difficult ways and things. And I don't remember how our text, and he goes, maybe later on, you know. And I told him, I said, I'll hold you up in prayer. I'll keep you in prayer. And he told me how much he's thankful. And I do my best. I said, Lord, help me to remember that. Help me to where I do talk to him again, I can let him know, I've been praying for you. And I've heard from him a little bit, and he's going through some difficult times and all that. But here he says there in verse 3, strengthen ye the weak. I'm going to need strength in one day. You're going to need strength in one day.
Yeah.
And confirm the feeble knees. Say to them in their fearful heart, I know we can use different words, but he says, be strong. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Help them. Help those that are the weak need and feeble heart, feeble hands. Say to them that are a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank the Lord. A solitary place. They can be glad for you if we have a right spirit, a proper spirit, and to be strengthened in them. To be encouraged, you know, as we look at, as I mentioned, with the homeless there. I know Brother Danny's very, very faithful at it. He likes, once we finally get all the gentlemen that are eating a meal, and then there's a slack time, they're eating, so if there's food, he'll grab a plate, and he always goes and sits down with somebody. Tries to find someone, sits, and to talk to. And this particular week, and sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, this particular week, I think I was giving a gentleman another plate or something. I was delivering it to him, and I happened to sit down with him, and he just talked. And he talked, and we talked a little bit back and forth, and talked for a long time, really. And when he got done, I didn't hear the gentleman come by and ask him the question, because he said, you heard what he said, and I didn't hear. And he asked me, he says, tomorrow, do you want to see the counselor? Do you want me to sign you up for the counselor? He goes, yes. I didn't hear him say that, but when we were finished, he thanked me. He says, I thank you. I didn't have any, we were just generally talking. But, you know, he thanked me. He says, sometimes I just need somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
I just need to unroll a lot of things. He talked about why he was there and how he got there and where his destination is planned. But sometimes people Help us, Lord. We can be really in a hurry. We can be really good. Help us, Lord, to have that time to talk to people. We don't always have to be, I got to feed you. I got to give you money. I have to do that. Sometimes that's the easy way out. Sometimes it's easy for me to pull $5 or $10 out of hand somebody and say goodbye. But you know what really costs money?
Time.
Time. To take that time. I know sometimes people can abuse it, but to take that time, to be a blessing somehow to someone. Say to them, be strong. Verse 4 there, say to them to be strong. As I mentioned, not all need the money, not all need the food, but encouragement. And maybe just that time to listen. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 21 says, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid.
Praise God.
It's difficult for us to see sometimes evil prevail. It's difficult for us to see wickedness, sin, rejection of God's blessings prevail. It's difficult. I'll be the first one to admit it. It's difficult to see all the crime, to see all the as Brother Danny mentioned about the guns and things and all that. Sometimes I wonder how much the government doesn't support some of that. It's hard to see that. But as I even in my prayer, my preliminary, I thank God we have a God that's not out of control. He's sitting on the throne. He's not worried about one thing. At any second of the day, he can change things just like that. But we do see, he says here in this verse, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Our recompense or reward may not be today, tomorrow, next year, next month, but by the faithfulness of God, staying true and faithful, we will be rewarded for our faithfulness, for our goodness, for our staying steady with the things of God. There is a recompense for wickedness. There is a repay for wickedness. God says, I will repay even the wickedness. Over in Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 21 there, he says, but as for them whose heart walketh after their heart of their desirable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. So he says, for those that walketh after their own heart, after the wickedness, after the abomination, God says, I'll repay that also. The Bible says, Jesus says, or God says, repent, or God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. He knows every single detail that's going on. And like I said, sometimes, and I've told you before, Lord, why don't you correct some of these things? Why don't you take care of some of these things? And God sometimes has to tell me sometimes, he says, you need to be careful with the Spirit because we don't know how God's working with things. Leave those things alone. God says, I'll take care of those things. I'll work with those things. We can't allow the wickedness to affect our recompense. We can't allow the wickedness of this world to affect our reward. We can get bitter. And I preached a message, and I think it was Kent meeting one time, and one of the verses, and it talks about, you know, when we get bitter, you know, when we get upset, you know, when we get angry, it's not at the world. We get upset. It's at God. Because in one sense, the saints of God, we know God's in control. We know God's in control of the world. There's not one person doing one thing that God cannot recorrect instantly. God's in control. God's in control of our spirit. God's willing to protect our spirit, take care of us. We need to trust in that. And anything we say, well, I'm upset with this, or I'm upset with that, I'm mad about this, we need to be careful, because what we're saying is, God, you can't take care of these things. I told you what my aunt said one time many years ago that passed away when I was there at her, not Aunt Sissy at all, but her last days. And she told me, she goes, if there is a God, he is doing a very poor job in taking care of this world. That's how she left this world. Recompense. To repay. We're going to get payday one day. We're going to get repaid one day for being faithful. For just holding steady. The word recompense to mean repaid, to mean compensation. Loss, you know, when someone compensates you, you've lost something. Something's been taken away from you. God's going to compensate each one of us one day. You know why? You know what you've lost? I asked you a question. I asked a question. Several of you answered it. What is more precious to us than money? And many of you said time. What have we lost? What have we lost in our life that God will compensate for us? Jesus says, any man that lays down his life for a friend, we've laid our lives down for Christ. Brother Danny, you could have accomplished anything in the world and just forgot about God. Going after, ran after the things of the world, and any one of us can. We could have gone after anything in the world. We could have chased the dreams. We could have chased any joys, any happiness, any thrills that we desired. And God would have allowed us to do that. But we chose not to follow the things of the world and give our life to Christ. We've lost them, and God says, I will recompense, I will compensate you for you giving up that life for him. God says the righteous shall be repaid, compensated for living for Christ. You know, mentioned this in Brother Gilbert's funeral. His song was 381, The Old Rugged Cross. Verse 4 says, to the old rugged cross I will ever be true. The next line says, its shame and reproach gladly bear. People think we're foolish for being here tonight. You're foolish for being here this morning, but to be here tonight also and Wednesday, it's foolish. This is foolish. This is not what the world looks at, but he says there, I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away. Then I will be recompensed for reward. Then I will receive my reward, where his glory forever I'll share. We have to shun the evil. We have to suffer the shame. The Bible says, Jesus says, to bless them that curse you. Bless them that hate you. Pray for them that consider you and I to be weak. Ridiculous. Our reward, our compensation is at the end. You know, there's a little catchy phrase that people say. A lot of people want their cake and eat it too. I want to enjoy life, and then I want the blessings at the end. God says you can't have that. I want to enjoy the thrills of sin, but I also want to go to heaven. And sadly, a majority of the world is living just that way. And they think in their own mind, as long as I'm not hurting somebody, I'm not destroying somebody, I'm having a good time, I'm doing what I want, and one day when I come down to the end, I'm going to enjoy the things of heaven. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. There's a reward for those that bring themselves under subjection to the things of this world. Paul says, I bring this body into subjection. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22. In 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 25, Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleansing in his eyesight. Our recompense, our reward is according to God's standard.
Yeah.
Not mine, not a church board, not a community. He says, therefore, God's going to reward me, recompense me according to my righteousness, according to how I live for God, according to how I bless people, according to how I'm willing to help people, willing to be saved and stay true and stay faithful and obey the word. He's going to reward me according to my righteousness, according to my cleansing. He's going to look at me in his eyesight. You know, sometimes we wish, well, Lord, I've been a pretty good guy. You know, there's a lot of people, pretty good guys. There's a lot of people that are really good people. There are a lot of people in the world I love, I would love to have for neighbors. Just good people. They're not alcoholics, they're not drug addicts, or their husband and wives have children and grandchildren and all. Just good, everyday people. But in God's eyes, that's where they're going to be judged. That's where they're going to be looked at. Many will claim they're righteous. If you remember the story one time that said to Jesus, some men stood before Jesus and said, Lord, we prophesied in your name. In other words, they preached the gospel in your name. We preached in the name of Christ. We cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. We did this in your name. Jesus says, I don't know you. Depart from me. Let's go to look at another one here for a minute. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to pick up in verse 34. Jesus is speaking here. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, this is the time of the judgment, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Why am I prepared? Why am I receiving this recompense and reward? He says, I'll tell you why in verse 35. For I was hungry. That's Lord help us. I know we have a society out there that asks for money that is abusing it. And I don't think God wants us to just be giving everybody money, knowing what they're doing with it. Give us wisdom. But he says, I was hungry. And you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and thirsty, or hungry and fed thee and thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me. Mm-hmm. Unto the least. Sometimes we may just, out of kindness and helping somebody, here's something. Something to eat, something to drink, something, a benefit, some clothes. Children that might need some clothes or whatever. Somehow we give to the least. Jesus says, if you've helped those, if you've been a blessing to those, if you've gone out and helped those. He said in verse 34, I say unto them on the right hand, come you blessed and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Your reward. But he also goes down later on. In verse 41, then shall I say unto them on their left hand, depart from me, you cursed, and everlasting fire, prepared for the devils and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger. You took me not in, naked. You clothed me not, sick, and in prison. And you visited me not. And they asked the same thing. When saw we these things, Lord? And he says there in the last part, in verse 45, then shall I answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, I did it not unto me. I say, Lord, help us. As I said, there's all kind of, I said, Lord, help us to be more attentive, more aware to where we can be a blessing to someone. To where we can, and it's not necessarily we want to do it because we want our reward, but we want to do it because we're children of God.
Right.
Because we want to be a blessing somehow. I was, I don't know if I told you this, I'm not going to go into too much detail, I'm going to try not to anyway. But it blessed my heart, and it was totally, totally not something I was prepared. I had gone in a couple weeks ago to get my hair cut, and the gentleman that I sat in his chair, I had known him. I've been in that barber shop. He's been there a long, long time, and I know he's a good barber. And I sat down, and he didn't hardly start just a couple minutes. And he, I seen him walk over to the other person, and he said something to them, and he came back, and he took the caper out around me, and he says, I'm going to have you go over there and let her do that. He says, I'm sorry, he's right, and he was shaking. He says, every once in a while this gets that way, and he says, I don't want to take chance of, anything happening. So he went over there, and he walked outside, and she told me he'd just gone through a divorce. There's just a lot of problems. He's just a nervous wreck right now. She goes, most of the day he's good, but every once in a while, especially late in the day, he gets like this. And when it came time to, to leave, and I gave her, you give him a tip, and I gave her a portion of a tip, and I said, look, and she looked at me because it was more than any usually tip I normally do. And she looked at me, and she says, what is this? I said, you take a portion of it and give it the rest to him. And as I looked up, he was down there like this on his chair. He was upset. And when I did that, she looked at me just almost dumbfounded. And she said to me, she goes, well, God bless you for doing that. Now, she could have taken the whole tip and get whatever. But it blessed my heart. It truly blessed. It was completely out of context. It wasn't something that I had thought about, that I was prepared to do, and I don't say this in any way to benefit me, but I said, Lord, when I did that, and I left the barber shop, and I said, Lord, help me. You know, those type of things, we want to be a blessing. Help us, dear Lord, to be more aware of needs. Sometimes, it doesn't have to be significant. It doesn't mean, I got to give you $100. It can be sometimes 5, 10 minimal sorts of things, or even just, let me pray for you at a certain time. But these men here, Jesus says, if you didn't do it to the least of these, if you weren't a benefit, if you weren't a help to the least of these, you'll not make heaven. We've seen that the vagabond Jews, they prayed for a man, and they didn't have the right spirit. They prayed for a man. They prayed in Jesus' name, who Paul preached. And they got themselves in trouble. They had no righteousness of themselves. We need to be pleasing to God in God's sight. Not in the world's. Not recognized by the world, but in the God's sight. Let's go to the last verse of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 10. And we read this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. I believe we have a great reward at home, waiting for us at home in heaven. I believe we have, as saints of God, we do our best to live faithful for God, and we do our best to help those that are in need for different things. As a church, whether we do it as a church for the homeless or as an individual, whatever, we do our best. And Jesus and Paul here, he says, don't cast away. Well, I did good for this person. I did good for that person. Now, granted, there are people out there in the world, they far surpass us in doing good deeds for things. That's not salvation. You have to be saved first. But some people do things for works. But we can do things as a congregation, as an individual, whether it's from the very smallest things that are recognized to maybe even the largest things. Lord, help us not to cast our confidence away. Lord, I do this, I did that, I did this, I've been helping. I don't seem to be getting my blessings that I need. Paul says, cast not therefore your confidence away, which hath a great recompense, a reward. I believe our reward will be great in heaven. And I don't think, maybe each one of us, and I could even say the same thing with the message, we might see sitting here in our minds, well, what have I been doing? Well, Jesus said to those other people, when he says, I was a stranger, I was naked, I was in prison, I was this, I was that, all these things, and you helped me. Now, that doesn't mean we do all those things. Doesn't mean every single one, but maybe you were, maybe you gave somebody some clothes, maybe you gave somebody some food, maybe you visited the sick, whatever, maybe those things. He says, I was eating. They said, Lord, when saw we? We don't sit here with a paper and pencil. Well, I did good here, I did good there, I did God, the other verse I read to you back there, in God's eyes, we'll be rewarded in God's eyes, for he knows from our heart and our desires of our heart how we were a blessing to someone. He says we have a great reward. Lord, help us to be a blessing, that we can be a blessing out there in the world to those that can't pay us back.
Yeah.
To those that can't give back to things. I think I've told you this in the past, and Aunt Sissy impressed this on me. Of course, working, some of you know Dr. Hungerford, and she worked for him, and he was very, very good to her for many, many years. Very good to her. And one time, I forget what he did for her. He gave her something in gift, financial, maybe it was Christmas or whatever, financial gift. And she, you know, said, you know, like a lot of us do, you know, said, you don't have to do that. And he said to her, and she told me this because I did the same thing one time for whatever it was. And he said to her, he goes, Betty, he goes, you need to learn to be thankful when people give you something.
Yeah.
Just say thank you. And that always stayed with me, because a lot of times when somebody may do good for us, our natural thing is we want to play it down some, but be thankful. Thank you. Because there's people out there, they have nothing. They have nothing that they can repay us back with, just like we could not repay back Christ for what he's done for us for saving our souls. May the Lord bless you as our song.
Page 37. On page 37.
152.
Huh? 152.
152?
Mm-hmm. Annie,
thank you, brother. You want this?
Sure, thank you.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. Page 152. Page 152.
Call my promise.
It's probably one of the most beautiful songs that we could ever sing for